The very talented Lauren Long is with me tonight. He is the two-time winner of the Golden Kite Award and has illustrated a number of best-selling children's books. He's also been a very busy man since we last saw him. Lauren's back tonight to talk about Barnstormers, Game 2, and Toy Boat. He also did the illustrations for the special edition of Frank McCourt's Angela and the Baby Jesus, which we'll hear more about later in the season. Lauren, welcome.
Thank you, Barbara. Thanks for having me back.
Thanks for taking time out. Set the scene for us, if you would. Who are the three children, and what are Barnstormers, and what year are we in, and what city are we in?
Okay, this entire series, the Barnstormers, Tales of the Traveling Nine, takes place in the summer of 1899, and it centers around three children, three siblings, Griffith, who's 12, Ruby, who's 10, and Graham, who is 7. They travel around the country with a quirky group of barnstorming baseball players set out to earn money to save the family from a family debt. These Traveling Nine baseball players were former Rough Riders with Teddy Roosevelt the summer before in Cuba during the Spanish-American War. And they all discovered in Cuba, even in San Antonio, when they were training to become Rough Riders, that they all had the same love of baseball, America's new pastime.
There's also a starring role for a rather special baseball. Where does that come from, and what are its qualities?
The Payne family, Griffith Payne, Graham Payne, and Ruby Payne, were given a very special baseball in a very interesting way that will come out in the series later on in the books. Now, we have 9 books planned, and this is just book 2. Book 3 comes out, by the way, in the spring of 08.
Oh, wonderful.
Yeah.
There's a wonderful thing that you've included in this book, along with many wonderful things, which is writing from Ruby's journal.
Right.
And you want to physically describe it for us first and then read some of her journal entry to us?
I sure will. Well, one of the things we're doing with Barnstormers is it's for the transitional emergent reader. It's for those 7 to 10 or 11 or 12-year-olds who are kind of transitioning into reading. And they're small chapters, lots of pictures. One of the things we have is our character Ruby is kind of a budding writer. So, and when she travels around the country with the Traveling Nine, she keeps a journal. Also, Scribe, who is the center fielder of the Traveling Nine, keeps a journal as well. So Ruby and Scribe have kind of a special relationship. Now, Scribe, by the way, is the largest human being that any of us would ever lay eyes on. And we'll learn more about Scribe in the books.
So give us a sense of what Ruby recorded on this special day.
Okay, and this is from Chapter 3 of Barnstormers, Game 2. Each book is called a game in the series. Now, this is Ruby's journal, so she's thinking along with the reader. The night of Daddy's funeral, what Uncle Owen said in his backyard. Be together always. Great danger lies ahead, an unspeakable kind. Things will speak to you in different ways. You mustn't tell a soul. No one can know of this. By this, he meant the baseball. Some of the things were said to all of us, but some were only said to Griff. He's finally told me everything Uncle Owen told him last month. Griff said he won't keep secrets from me anymore. I'm glad he realizes how important it is for us to work together. I know that's what Uncle Owen meant. Uncle Owen's letter. It has frightened and worried us. What happened to it? What happened to Uncle Owen? Beware the Chancellor. He mustn't learn of the baseball. What is it about the baseball that has Uncle Owen so concerned? Grammy's baseball. At the start of each game, we all touch it. It's our pregame ritual. We're not sure why we do that, but it feels right. The baseball is the connection. It's the link to the strange things that took place on the field in Cincinnati. Griff and I talked about it after the game. We know it is. It has to be. Still, what caused the strange events to happen? How could we have used them to help the Traveling Nine? Were they meant to help? Can we make things happen? I know this sounds odd, but I keep thinking about Mom baking her pies and cookies during the holidays and when we have company. She always uses her book of recipes. She carefully chooses the ingredients, and the result is something magical. Somehow, I think Griff, Graham, and I have those ingredients, all of them.
What a great metaphor. There are lots of wonderful things that you introduce children to in this book, and certainly your illustrations are one of them. The great practice of writing a journal. I also love, and I think adults, if they were reading this with their child, would have great fun with the what I'll call the lexicon of baseball slang that you include.
Yeah.
So
Do
you remember all the names for a ground ball?
Well, I remember certainly a lot of them. And again, that goes back from my experience right here in Cincinnati playing for the 1869 Red Stockings in Sharon Woods at the Heritage Village there. But yeah, my favorite of all time is the Daisy Cutter, which is a sharply hit ground ball and a worm burner and grass clipper.
Yes, bug bruiser.
Bug bruiser, yes. And then like for a fly ball, cloud hunter, rainmaker. That's been a great fun. And as we've gone around to schools and visited with the children, introducing them to some of that terminology and that jargon from that era in baseball has been probably one of the most fun things, you know. Instead of saying batter up, they say striker to the line, you know, and the kids love that kind of thing.
Well, it's a very creative approach to language. You have a creative approach to letters also.
Mm-hmm.
Tell us how you begin each chapter.
Yeah, well, the initial cap or drop cap, as some refer to it, that begins every chapter in every book of Barnstormers starts with a letter that's made out of little drawings that I've done of ballplayers doing a baseball action. Sometimes they're very posed and stoic, and other times they're action, like throwing a ball and somebody sliding in under, like as if they were trying to beat out a double play. And, you know, I've always loved baseball, and as an artist, one of the fun things about the sport as a subject is the fact that you do have those posed, stoic moments in baseball, and then you do have very, you know, action-filled kind of poses. And the human form is at the core, which is what I love to draw probably the most. So I've got an umpire, I think the catcher and the hitter become the shape of a W. Whereas the O, I think I used two characters, and the I, for example, is just the pitcher standing there. A Y, I had to go to the windup. So I'm hoping that someday we do something with the alphabet.
You also have a new book out for younger children, and it is titled Toy Boat, for which you did the illustrations. And I have to say this to you, the illustrations are so vivid and so luscious that I just could not resist touching them. The illustrations in Barnstormer are the soft charcoal drawings and nostalgic. And then we go to this extraordinary color and the representation of things sort of being outsized because they're seen from a small child's eyes. So the perspective is definitely there.
In Toy Boat, right?
Yes, yes. Right. You want to give us just a little bit of what the storyline is of Toy Boat?
Sure, sure. My editor at Philomel, which is an imprint of Penguin, sent me this text by Randall DeSevre, who had never been published. So I was thinking, I'm not sure who this person is. But this text really drew me in right off the start. It's a very simple, straightforward text, but it has, to me, one of those classic, expansive feeling. If you dig a little deeper into this text, Randall's text also has, I think, a really nice parallel between parent and child. Holding on to something that you love dearly and you have a relationship with, but then losing it for a while, and then it coming back, and then not holding on too tightly, but giving it room. And that's why the ending is very calculated in the toy boat. There's so much room for me to create the world that this toy boat experiences. Not only the look of the character, but the look of the other characters that the toy boat encounters, the look of the water, the look of all those decisions that you get to make as an artist.
So. Yes, the tugboat with the tired eyes.
Right, right.
Read us a little bit from the toy boat, if you would.
I will do that. The Toy Boat by Randall DeSevre. A little boy had a toy boat. He made it from a can, a cork, a yellow pencil, and some white cloth. The boy loved the boat, and they were never apart. They bathed together, they slept together, and every day they would go down to the lake and sail all afternoon. The boy held the boat by a string and never let go. Most of the time, this was nice for the boat, but sometimes the little toy boat would look out at big boats gliding across the lake and wonder what it would feel like to sail free. One blustery afternoon, a dark cloud rolled over the lake. The boy's mom pulled him back toward the house. Her tug made him drop the boat's string. The boy cried out as the little toy boat floated away. "Boat!" he called. "Boat!" But nothing could be done. Wind and rain pushed the little toy boat into deep water. There it bobbed on high waves topped with foam. In time, a black and green tugboat with a row of old tires on its side chugged past. Its windows looked like tired eyes that seemed to say, "Move along," as it pushed the little toy boat aside with its wake.
And that was just the first of many of the toy boat's adventures, and which you illustrate so well, along with the tired eyes, as I mentioned. And you're a good friend, and it's always a delight to see you. Thanks so much for being here. I hope you stay busy, because I want you to come back and show us some more of your beautiful work.
Well, thank you so much. It's been so flattering, very sincerely, for anybody to notice my artwork and to be given a stage for a publisher to print my work and put it in literature for children is really the biggest honor of my career and means a great deal to me.
It's a gift to all of us.
Thank you.
And I think you've covered all the bases, you'll excuse the pun, with from Barnstormers with the 7 to 10-year-olds and then this book for young children. I know you all will be interested in knowing more about Lauren Long and his books, which are the latest, Toy Boat, Barnstormers, Game 2, Three Kids, A Letter, and Lots of Horsing Around, and Angela and the Baby Jesus. You'll find more information about all of them at WVXU.org. For Around Cincinnati, I'm Barbara Gray.
Their bats are splintered, their hats are torn, their uniforms look like they've been through war. Their cleats are beat, their hair is tossed, they're one strike away from totally lost. Every single one of the traveling nine laid on the line when they hit the diamond. Every single one of the traveling nine play like today is a do or die. Hip hip huzzah, the town folks cry, here they come, it's the traveling nine, round in the country on a baseball drive. Hip hip huzzah, it's the traveling nine, hip hip huzzah, the town folks cry, here they come, it's the traveling nine, round in the country on a baseball drive. Hip hip huzzah, it's the traveling nine.